Hello, welcome back to Core Finance. I'm Matt Brown. I'm joined by Ben Kumar, Investment Manager at 7IM. And we're going to talk about the UK PLC. This is coming on the back of the budget, Philip Hammond's first autumn budget statement yesterday. Thank you for coming on to the show. What do you make of the whole budget?
Well, I think it's a budget that contained very little new information, because I don't think there's much information for Philip Hammond or the Treasury to work with. You know, you look at the Office for Budget Responsibility and they've downgraded UK growth forecasts. That's what's made the headlines. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing was the statement released by them where they said, look, the reason that we're downgrading forecasts is because we just don't know. And the government is not giving us enough information about their plans for Brexit. So when you've got an independent body that's meant to conduct these reviews, mm-hmm. you know, get their economists working, and they're saying, look, we don't have any idea because the government isn't telling us, starts to get me, personally, a little bit worried about whether the government has anything approaching a plan at all.
And with the case of the OBR, they have to come up with figures, they have to, forward-looking numbers. Could they not have three different numbers, you know, hard, soft, no deal, whatever, for Brexit, and publish those?
I think they absolutely could, if they were getting that direction mm-hmm. from the government. If the government said, look, could you give us kind of a long-run estimate for GDP growth, and then also, could you map what would happen in these scenarios, assuming this, and assuming this. And the government hasn't even done that. And again, it goes back to the fact that I'm not sure the government knows enough about how clearly it will define its scenarios for hard, soft, and no deal mm-hmm. to even give the OBR an option. Another interesting thing was that lots of the predictions the OBR made was assuming current rates of immigration continue for the next 5 years. So lots of the kind of productivity gap is filled by about 500,000 immigrants assumed to come in. That doesn't seem to be set in stone, given where we're going. So, you know, it's a really... I feel very sorry for the OBR having to just work in this vacuum and give numbers that public policy is going to be based on.
And who's actually looking at these statistics? Is it traders trading gilts, equities, or is it businesses actually operating, you know, the large-cap businesses, even small, medium-sized businesses in the UK? Who actually takes note of the OBR numbers, except for you and I?
Well, I think for businesses, they take note not of the numbers, but of the sense, the feeling, the sentiment mm-hmm. around them. You know, if you are looking to build a factory, expand, hire more of a workforce, you know, you need some confidence that the government policy is set out, or mm-hmm. is at least clear for the future, for the regulations governing your business. And I don't think that's happening. When it comes to the trading side, you know, I talk to a lot of people, and no one cared about mm-hmm. the budget. A couple of analysts covering house builders, but no one really minded about the budget, because the big game in the UK is not government policy, you know, it is Brexit. And we keep maybe over-focusing on it. A lot of things you hear from international investors is, you Brits are obsessed with Brexit. And I can understand how it looks that way. You know, if you're abroad, you think, okay, fine, you sort that out and I'll go and invest in the US or the emerging mm-hmm. markets or wherever. But, you know, if you are in Britain and your home currency is sterling, you do need to care. The reason it's in the headlines the whole time is because people base their decisions on it every day.
And for UK investors, and you mentioned kind of global investors looking at the UK, are they looking at the FTSE 250, which is probably a better indicator of UK PLC as a whole, or are they looking at the FTSE 100, and is there a trade to be done between the two?
Yeah, I think there is. You know, the FTSE 100 is global businesses, and it can benefit from weaker sterling. You know, we've seen it over the past year and a half. The FTSE 250 is the UK economy. Well, it's still about 50% of revenues from abroad, but it is a better proxy. And what the FTSE 250 is telling you is that, at the moment, the UK economy is fine. And I really think that's important to bear in mind. You know, the UK economy is still okay. We're not in recession. We're nowhere near post-crisis growth slumps. We are doing okay. The problem is, looking forward, if you look at the FTSE 250, and it's quite high valuation, and those growth figures, if they're even remotely right, and compare that to the rest of the world, you want to be elsewhere. You know, if the UK manages to get 1.5% growth in an environment where the whole global economy is expanding and our biggest trading partners going at the best rate it's seen in, well, ever, you know, if the UK manages to fail and get 1.5% GDP growth, I think investors will bail out of the FTSE 250. The FTSE 100 might be a more protective option.
And what sentiment are you seeing from UK investors at 7IM?
Well, I think when we talk to our clients, many of whom run small businesses, the sentiment is, look, you need to be cautious, you need to be protecting capital, and if there are opportunities outside the UK, you know, let's go and explore them. So we talk a lot about, you know, finding opportunities in frontier markets, in niche areas of the fixed income world, and that gets quite a good reception. Mm-hmm. It's find me something that is not correlated or related or in any way to the UK political situation, and that is a longer term investment, and most of our investors are kind of on board with that, and very, very worried about sterling.
Understood. Well, on that note, Ben Kumar, investment manager at 7am. Thank you for joining us here.